Welcome to episode 10, friends, of Between the Swing. It's Between the Swings podcast. This is your hosts, Alex Beaverson and Kyle Jones. Blessed and honored to be with you today. We are talking about some fun stuff in episode 10 today. We're talking about the vision of Between the Swings, where we're headed, what we want to do, some fun things we might or might not have in store. We're going to be talking about the cultural landscape of golf and the crazy putts that we saw on the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour this past week, British Open stuff. Leadership lean-in, talking about peace over progress. And last but not least, maybe a hot find of the week. Kyle Jones, welcome to episode 10, my guy.
Episode 10, we are here.
What a fun journey this has been. 10 conversations about golf, 10 conversations about leadership, 10 conversations to learn more about each other and become better golf professionals. It's been fun.
It has. It's been so good. It's laced with leadership learnings. Mm-hmm. It's laced with the comings and goings of the golf world, you know, near and far. So it's been great to have these conversations. It's grown in directions that I don't think you and I would have anticipated. And it's going to be a fun time just to kind of fill in a little description on what Between the Swings stands for now here at episode 10 that maybe we didn't recognize or define on episode one.
Yeah, it's for those of you that don't know, Kyle and I are golf professionals. We have the privilege of running a very public golf course in the heart of Phoenix in Mesa, Arizona. We, you know, day in and day out, we talk golf, we love golf, and we both have a shared passion to not only impact the game of golf, but impact the golfer one round at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Impacting the people in and around the game of golf with the game of golf.
Yeah.
So getting anywhere from 50 to 55,000 rounds of people
yep.
through our doors from the years 2020 to 2024 and onward. So we continue to have this conversation on how we can create an environment for life to happen at its best. And it's in that environment where you and I have come up with this idea of really challenging the golfer
yep.
who is on the golf course to embrace the moments.
Yeah. We started this this amazing project, a passion project, I will say, called Between the Swings podcast. Mm-hmm. And through conversation, driving to lunch, literally today, we're like, I think it's time to step our game up a little bit. And take some risks with this here podcast. So we started talking about golf passion project, and it's becoming less of a project, more something that we want to dig our heels deep into. And you've really challenged me and our podcast listeners to embrace the moments, which is a term that I think is very impactful and a term that we're going to be running with for quite some time, I believe, because it's impactful. In short, how has the game of golf impacted you when you've been out there thinking about, I need to embrace the moments? Like, how has the education of, I need to embrace the moments impacted you as of late?
We started this podcast by talking about how golf has the ability to create an environment where life happens at its best.
Yeah.
Right? So many key memories, conversations, happenings, they're going to occur on the golf course or have occurred on the golf course for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But since starting the podcast and having this intention to be mindful and self-aware to how I'm feeling physically, mentally, spiritually, however, it has been quite impactful.
Yeah.
It brings about a gratitude on and off the golf course that I don't feel existed before. When I'm on the golf course, there's an appreciation for so many things that are existing in that environment that have always existed and hopefully always exist in that environment that maybe golfers aren't spending enough time recognizing, admiring, and enjoying.
Yeah.
Right? I've always enjoyed wildlife, but for some reason, I've embraced the moments and just seen the colors on a bird that's passing by or the bird song of a morning dove when driving the golf course in the morning or the evening. Those quick moments are reminders to me that there's this eternal clock that exists, and no matter what I do, I am not going to change that.
Yeah.
So let's slow down and enjoy this environment that is created. We know it's a great environment, so let's spend more time being grateful and acknowledging that. So it's a great gratitude on the golf course and off the golf course in understanding what that round of golf has provided for you.
Yeah.
Right? You get home and you realize that you have de-stressed or decompressed a little bit while you're out there. You've got more patience for the family or for individuals on your team the next day when you show up to work. Having gratitude in the moment, realizing you're having a moment or having a good day, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Because when you go back and realize that it was a good day, you're not going to create that same feeling, right? That same excitement or that same peace that, mm-hmm. that you and I have begun to talk about so much.
Yeah. And it's, we've really began to talk about at our course specifically, we're one of the only green spaces in a pretty large radius mm-hmm. in Mesa. And the golf industry at large has taken some criticism from individuals regarding taking up wildlife space and being a, you know, taking up water and natural, you know, landscape. And we're challenging that notion going, actually, we're doing a lot of good. The golf course is providing not only a lot for wildlife and nature, but actually for your literal soul. And I really like that idea because that is what's happening on the course. The amount of times I've walked on the golf course morning twilight rounds with my buddies, looked at a landscape and be like, can we just take this in for a moment before we hit our tee shots? Cause look how beautiful this is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time for us to dig deep into that notion. And, we talked about today, like, I think that we want to create some products and create an environment, a culture where we help the everyday golfer embrace that moment, embrace the moment. And it could be a plethora of things. We talk about this a lot. It could be the bird song. It could be the gophers that we as industry professionals don't like on our course. But when you're driving the course, it's so fun to see these little guys out. And how do you embrace these moments? And we want to help challenge people in a very tangible way, learn to embrace the moments beyond just a podcast. And we're going to continue to have these conversations, but I think it's time for us to cast a little vision and move in a direction that impacts the everyday golfer in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't give you a full peek behind the curtain on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That'll be a little secret that's coming down the road. But we are looking for people who want to partner with Between the Swings.
Yeah.
Who wants to help us bring our first product, maybe two or three, to the people who join this community. It's going to be things that are utilized in or around a round of golf mm-hmm. That is going to help inspire mindfulness, self-awareness, patience, gratitude, and to help you embrace the moments that are happening all around you on the golf course.
That's right.
And if you're just looking for your golf ball, you're going to miss all of these amazing things that are around you to inspire you, to remind you that everything is going to be okay in the world. We've got a timeline on these things and want them to come out sooner rather than later. So we're looking for people who want to partner with us in sponsoring the podcast. And those funds are going to be used to bring these products to you. And we can't wait to talk more about that. But that'll be another episode to come.
That's right. That's right. So we're excited about that. And it's been a fun journey to learn how to embrace the moments every single day. Mm-hmm. So part of what we talk about a lot here is peace and, you know, mindfulness and peace out on the golf course. Now, as industry professionals and people who, you know, we talked about progress last time and embracing sort of the current status of our golf course while wanting it to be better. You know, how are you right now as an industry professional seeking ways to find peace in your role right now as a manager, as a leader, and bring peace to our golfers and our, you know, staff that work here? Cause this idea that we talked about this past week was how as leaders can we find peace over progress? Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that. What have you stepped into this, or what sort of how's your brain been working and working in circles around that notion this past sort of week or so?
That's a great question. We exist so that we can bring our community, what we hope to be is a little bit of peace.
Yeah.
And we talk about so much of that and how we try and create that for our team as well. And with that, as leaders of departments, of individuals, we're constantly fighting for progress and we're constantly challenging status quo and trying to find ways to really connect with the people who visit us, mm-hmm. because we're trying things that are different and really pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we have to take a step back and look at what our goal is.
Hmm.
Our goal is peace. Our goal is peace. And if your goal is peace, the pursuit of progress can become impatient and disrupt that peace.
Yeah.
Or disrupt any pursuit of that peace from happening. And so we think of it as this way, is if peace is the result of anything that we want to do here, then let's let peace be the result of any progress that we have.
That's good.
And if peace is going to be the result of any progress that we have, finding peace is then progress.
That's profound, because it's this perpetual like hamster wheel that I think so many people want progress because they think peace is going to be at the end of whatever big goal they have in mind. And you get to that point and
so
you're like,
true.
I'm not nearly as content as I thought I would be when I set this goal. So therefore, maybe peace is the goal, end goal anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's that stable, constant, slow walking, patient leader that you can look at. All of us have these in our lives. You're like, that guy's full of peace. He's content. He's happy. He's peaceful, that I think we're all actually seeking deep down. And that's a leadership struggle in all of us.
Right.
You know?
Right. And peace is just this ability to embrace the moment when it's happening.
Yes.
Because so many of us are just sitting there kicking ourselves on, oh, I had a pretty good day yesterday.
Yeah.
Or that was quite a cool experience, but I was so busy being worried about what was coming after it, or the project that was due the very next day, that now I'm trying to sit down and recall it or think about what that experience was like. So yeah, we talk often about reminding ourselves what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And that our constant pursuit of perfection is just trying to get that goal even further.
Yeah.
So always being mindful that the goal is peace,
mm-hmm.
not just for the people who are coming to experience what we're creating for them in that experience, but for the people who are working here, for the team leaders, and for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And what you and I have put so much effort into, and this podcast has really inspired us to, is to not let working in what is our greatest hobby ruin our love and passion for that hobby.
Totally.
And that is something that's been major for you and I. So let's talk a little bit more about that, about not letting our career and expertise in the game of golf ruin our passion for being able to get out and chase after the ball and embrace the moments.
It's interesting working in the entertainment industry, and anyone who has worked in the entertainment industry gets this, because your hobby becomes your profession, you know? So people often look at a golf pro like the two of us and think, man, it's probably amazing. You work in golf all day. 100% true. Like that, I'm riding that wave until that wave becomes the smallest little drip of water type of thing. But that's not always the case for people. You know, I had a buddy of mine who was going professional, and his passion for his hobby became his life. And he was going to be a professional golfer, sleeping on couches, got some sponsors, played really well, years and years of this grind. And then he said, I'm done. I'm not passionate about this game anymore. This game has failed me. This game is not what it once was when I was a child. And so many people in our industry have a tendency to get to that point. And I think anyone who works in entertainment gets to that, where your hobby becomes your job. And so this embrace of the moments has allowed for, I think, us to sometimes separate the two, talk professional when we need to, have hard conversations when we need to, close the office door and walk out and go, we can go chase the white ball around still. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's well said.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a, it's a crazy pursuit. My dad owns and operates a movie theater. And I remember growing up, like, my mom being like, let's go watch a movie. And my dad's like, I don't want to go back to work. You know?
That's, yeah, I get that.
How have you kept yourself, like, stable-headed, understanding, you know, that you're working in a, like, it always wasn't like that for you. You know, did you feel like there was a time in your life where you had to regain an interest in golf again? Cause you work.
Yes.
It?
Yeah. That's yeah. It ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
It ebbs and flows. You know, I think there's a time in my life where it got down to its lowest. And a lot of that ties into two things. It's one, the team that I was working with, mm-hmm. and what we were trying to accomplish as a team. It yeah. was all being talked about dollars and rounds of golf and trying to get better, but not painted in the way that made any sense or any way that I cared about.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's always being mindful of the goal, always being mindful of the impact that you are having, right? Because when we see a beginner golfer or any golfer hit the shot that they're trying to hit, they're experiencing something that we call ball euphoria,
yeah.
right? It's a real thing. Your golf ball connects with the club face, it takes off, and it just flies effortlessly through the air. It's important to be around that
yeah.
instead of, you know, locking yourself in the office, and a lot like what I talked about in the last episode, letting the stresses and pressures of your position consume you. Right. Get away from that. Mm-hmm. Experience the golf course from your own perspective in playing, but also get out there and see that there are people who are enjoying your golf course
yeah.
year round.
Yeah.
Regardless of the temperature, regardless of course conditions comparative to February or August, you're still a success because you're still getting people on the golf course that are finding that peace, that are getting out there and getting what they need out of the experience.
That mindfulness thing is to come back to this, because I think this is such a challenging point for any golfer and any leader out there. You said the other day that we hosted a sip and paint night at our golf course, and you said there's going to be people that talk about that night. Maybe for the rest of their lives. Yeah, maybe not in the way like, oh, this was the best thing that I've ever done ever always. But they're going to be like, I remember this and it was fun and it was good. And I have a painting in my house, and they're going to look at their kids and be like, I stink it painted that. At least that's what my wife did when she came home from sipping paint that night. I remember when I shot in the 70s for the first time, I walked into the pro shop and I was like, I just had the best round of my life. And the golf professional at the time was like, oh, like, cool, what'd you shoot? I was like 70, 78 or something. Like, you're not nothing amazing, but for me, I remember that round forever.
Oh yeah.
And I felt like in that moment, he didn't care. And I don't really care. Like, he probably had a lot going on, but for him to realize today is a day that there's a guest on my golf property that's going to remember this day forever. It changes his passion for his job. If he were to just think that, just have a moment of like, today could be the day and is a day that someone's going to walk on this property, remember forever.
Yeah.
And that was me. I was the dude that remembered that forever. You know, I remember the course. I remember what I shot. I remember that last putt going in that day at that course. And I don't feel like that golf professional, you know, cared much.
That was very well said.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I feel like I've been cursed with the gift of empathy.
Yeah.
And that empathy alone is what allows me to find passion, because I'm thrilled by you just telling me that.
It's for
you
sure.
You just having that conversation. I want to know, what's the golf course? What was the weather like? You know, talk to me about the putt you had
exactly.
on 18. Because I know what that feels like, and I love that feeling, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to relive that with you.
Yeah.
And that takes... that takes being deeply involved in your facility.
It does.
Right? So spend time. I talk about mindfulness routines, but really what that is spending time every single week identifying when it's time for you to work hard. Yeah. And identify when it's time for you to connect with your facility or with your team.
Yeah.
And with, you know, today it's currently 104 degrees outside at 2:08 p.m. Yeah. on the 16th of July. And we're probably doing 48 rounds of golf.
Yeah.
And we're open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's a lot of time to sit at your desk and think about, it's the hottest June we've ever had. We still haven't had recorded rainfall in the month of July. Mm-hmm. We're spending X number of dollars to try and get extra fertilizer, extra wetting agent, and we've seen nothing.
Yeah.
We're seeing nothing compared to years past. How do you fight that and still see the passion in what you do, or even at all, try and find the peace in what you do? And it's spending more energy identifying, let's push here, right? Let's sit at the desk for X number of hours every day or every single week, but spend time connecting, spend time seeing the ways that your facility is still alive, still serving people, even if it feels like it's different than what you want from it, because there's such a massive seasonality from it. To share a little bit of that seasonality, we haven't talked a ton about numbers, but we run 9 public golf courses, mm-hmm. you know, as part of Arcus Golf Phoenix daily golf courses in the state of Arizona. There's 1,000 rounds short of prior year just in the first 10 days of July, right? So 110 rounds at each one of those facility. And so just a drastic difference in market conditions, and you just want to flip back to 2023 where you're doing a lot different rounds of golf. But when you spend the time to be mindful and connect with your facility, you're still going to find that there's success everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're not just here to perform at a financial success level.
Totally. Right?
We're also here to connect with the community. We're also here to be a place where people can find recreation, relaxation, physical activity, peace, you name it. Yeah. So there's success to be found when you use, you know, your own emotion, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. Use the empathy that you have to see the emotions that people around you are experiencing.
Yeah, and I think the tangible part is, you know, not everyone that listens to this podcast or knows us personally works in the golf industry. And I think the challenge that we can all take from this little conversation is find ways to look at your role differently and look at your guest interactions differently. If you're in HR or you are in, you know, you copy paper business and you decide to listen to us today, take some time in your day and just breathe and think about the interactions you have with your organization, your bosses, your team, and how that can impact them and impact people. And it'll change your perspective and get you out of that mundane sort of rhythm of your role.
Yeah. So I'd also challenge listeners or challenge any leader on the team that when things are slowing down or things might feel mundane, take the opportunity to take a snapshot of every single individual on your team, mm-hmm. including yourself. And then advance that timeline 5 years, right? And picture and include them in this conversation. Picture them on their career path and where they want to go and how they get there. And then begin those conversations, right? Just in today's staff meeting, we had a lot of fun just talking about the fact that there are 4 or 5 of us around this table that are spending time at a business making decisions that impact our business. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, or at the end of our time spent at this business, it also impacts our resume.
Yeah.
Right. So let's have the excitement of looking at our time spent on property as our ability to find achievement and growth as individuals as well. So had a lot of conversations, you know, with leadership principles that are being talked about at a corporate level with Arcus Golf, and how we can be self-aware mm-hmm. and challenge ourselves to maybe conquer some of those principles to take the next steps towards our next leadership position. So that's a lot. Another a way that we break out of any slump that we may be in, if there's passion missing, is, hey, we're not just leaders of a golf course. We're leaders of people that are going to move on and be leaders of other people in the future. Yeah. So we kind of take a step away from that everyday business just to talk about everyone as individuals mm-hmm. and the time that we're spending or the decisions that we're making to be better.
Yeah. And that's the goal, man. I think all of us want to work at a job that we're proud of. We're excited to come to work. We want to think outside the box and work for something bigger than the paycheck, you know? And so there's the leadership sort of axiom of the day is peace over progress and learn to look at things differently in that mundane sort of day-to-day role. But I want to talk about, as our time's running out here, I want to talk about, golf, the golf culture, the crazy golf putts that we saw two amazing putts that happening at one amazing putt and then one not so amazing putt on the LIV tour this past week. And then let's chat about the British Open a little bit. I don't hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
So as a fan of LIV, I'll jump with that one first.
Yep.
And I showed you this replay. Who's the golfer? It was,
Anirban Lahiri.
It was him and Sergio Garcia coming in. And Sergio's in front of his home crowd. Lahiri needed to make a 2-foot putt. Yeah. And I hate that I'm laughing because I feel so bad, but he laughed about it too. He missed his putt. Yeah. I show you this. And then he goes and one hands his missed putt. He needed to make it the putt to win. It was 2 feet. He needed to make the putt, misses the putt, lips out, laughs at himself kind of, and then one hands the putt in afterwards. It was the same distance.
It was wild. I mean, he misses a putt and then almost the same exact distance, one hands it right into the hole without any pressure, no stress, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Oh. Yeah, it shows you the pressure of one single shot in golf, let alone every other shot he took that day. So it's so funny how his world went from a ton of stress to no stress at all. And a very unfortunate situation for him. So no, cheers to the Spaniard, to Sergio in his home country. So he's going to celebrate by drinking a lot of good Spanish wine and kudos to him.
And then contrary to the Bobby Mack.
Oh man, Robert McIntyre, the Scotsman.
Yeah. You said like manifesting this birdie putt.
I feel like he did. He manifested this opportunity to win his home country's, the Scottish Open, all the way back when he won with his dad on the bag, I believe at the Rocket Mortgage. He just says that he's playing great and it's all been in focus on going home and trying to win that tournament. So on 18, drains a putt and has the most energetic, exciting celebration. Oh. It was wild.
It was one of those like dead quiet, he putts it. Cameraman, he's in the middle and the crowd's behind him and it's dead silent as that ball rolls in.
Cinematic.
Immediate eruption. Yeah. Goosebumps for everybody there. I'm getting goosebumps at home. Rewatched it 50 times.
It was so cool. It was so cool. So he deserved that moment and afterwards went on to say that he doesn't feel like he's the most skilled guy in the world, but boy, does he have some fight and moxie and that's what he's got. So he's playing well. There's a lot of other golfers playing well for the weekend. I think Bryson has an unbelievable chance to go back-to-back majors, which would be a massive
crazy
deal. We'll see how the weather plays out, though. So what are your thoughts about the good old Open, British Open or the Open?
They're playing at Troon Country Club.
Yeah, it's at Troon.
And so my first thought is we're over here in America, and by the time I wake up, I'm going to have all the results already, which is kind of a bummer for this major because there's nothing like Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, 6 p.m. watching the final round of whatever major is happening. Mm-hmm. It will all be over practically by the time I you know, I'll be able to see the last couple rounds happening when I wake up. It'll be done by 10 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a bummer. But I got DeChambeau. I have Rory. And I would like to see someone a tad older. We talked about Ernie. I mean, Ernie Els, I don't believe, will win it. But he just won last week as well. It'd be fun to see kind of a no-name, deep cut, you know, maybe an older guy come out on top.
Maybe not a no-name, but a name that hasn't been around for a while that just grinds through and does a Tom Watson-esque type open run on Sunday.
Yeah.
I like those picks. I'd already said Bryson's name. Rory has played well at every major so far.
And he hasn't played since the last one. So, yeah,
and he's been focusing just on this. So, I've got him as one of my big ones. And then number three, I'm going to say Tommy Fleetwood. I hope he plays well this week.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see, man. The Open is always, is it sunshine or is it storming?
Or is it rain? Yeah. Xander has been playing some good golf, but I don't feel like, use this term moxie, talking about Bobby Mack. I like Xander, but I'm not seeing much of that moxie in Xander all that often. No. When he won, I was like, okay, maybe there's something in there. He needed this win to get that confidence, that moxie, that self-control / I don't know, that power in you to just get over the hump.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll
whoever wins this weekend, they're going to display some moxie and some grit. So
that's such good terms.
Yeah. Let's let's go watch some golf. And if you're listening, you know, thank you so much for being a part of this community. We're 10 episodes in and we have so much more coming for you. So instead of bringing you a hot find of the week to wrap things up, we'll just remind you that we will be bringing you the hot find of the week from the Between the Swings crew. We're just looking for someone who wants to partner with us.
Yeah.
We'll promote your name, your business, give you an advertising space in our podcast, and use those funds just to promote one thing, to you get out and embrace the moments.
That's right. We'll see you guys.